It's possible that over the last few days you had a little bit of downtime and you've maybe had the opportunity to read a book or perhaps watch a movie where the story has focused on a daring rescue attempt. I love books and films that are based on true stories, and in particular those involving a rescue. The real heroism of someone risking their own life to save the life of others. And I recently watched a film called Operation Entebbe, which recounted the true story of the hijacking by Palestinian terrorists of an Air France flight back in 1976 in Paris. And the aircraft had mainly Jewish passengers. It was flown by hijackers from Paris to Entebbe Airport in Uganda. And against all odds, Israeli commandos went in and saved 106 hostages, killed all the hijackers, losing one soldier in the rescue. And that soldier was the commanding officer, a gentleman called Jonathan Netanyahu. And you might recognise the surname because his brother is the current Prime Minister of Israel. But this evening, I want us to consider a much greater rescue mission, the greatest rescue mission that ever was undertaken on earth. And it began quietly on a star-filled night in a Bethlehem manger almost 2,000 years ago with the birth of a baby boy. And we remember the start of this rescue mission each Christmas, and indeed we remember its end each Easter time. And we know it changed the world. And if you have a Bible to hand, can I just ask you to turn to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 1, please? We want to break into that chapter at verse 20. And the context will be very familiar. Mary was great with child. Joseph was perplexed about what he should do. And then we read in verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." For he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to catch that last statement in verse 21. The angel proclaims the reason why God sent his son, why God's son left the glory and riches of heaven to take on human form, was his rescue mission. His rescue mission to save you and to save me from our sins. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus declared his rescue mission in his own words, saying, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You know, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? Jesus seeks and Jesus saves. You know, Christ proclaims that his sole purpose is to seek and to save the lost. That means you, and that means me. You know, if you're not saved tonight, if you haven't put your trust in Christ, you are spiritually lost because of sin. But Christ came to rescue you. He's seeking you out, wanting to save you. That's the very reason why in his will you are listening to this broadcast. What a search and rescue mission. You know, Christ didn't risk his life to rescue us. He gave his life for us. The rescue mission involved Jesus living a sinless life, something never accomplished by any other person. He lived through temptations, pain, sorrows, even fears, while marching steadily throughout his life on earth towards Calvary. A rescue mission fueled by the grace of God towards undeserving and sinful man. He marched towards that brutal ending on the cross and glorious resurrection from the tomb. I want to take the statement we read in Matthew 1 verse 21 as our text this evening and just make some brief comments on it. And that text is, "For he shall save his people from their sins." What a statement that is, what hope it contains for a world of lost sinners. And I want us to consider three things contained within it. First of all, who Jesus came to rescue, who he came to rescue. Secondly, what Jesus came to rescue us from. And thirdly, how you can be rescued. Firstly, let's consider just who Jesus came to rescue. And I want to just reflect on three thoughts on his purpose, his people, and his plan. His purpose. The angel stated to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save." Oh, how I love that old Bible word, "save." "For he shall save." That was the sole objective of God sending his son into this world. The sole objective of the rescue mission was to seek and to save those that were lost. You know, God the Father, in His mercy, in His grace and in His love for fallen mankind, sent His Son to be the Saviour of the world. His purpose, and His purpose was personal. Personal to you and personal to me. It's not about that neighbour, that relative, your husband, your wife, your kids. It's about you. You know, the hymn writer, I think, captured it well when he penned these lovely, lovely words. And the hymn goes like this: wondrous love that He should leave His throne and come to earth for me, should give His life my soul to save, the ransom pay that sets me free. It was for me, it was for me. For me He left His throne above, His grace, His goodness, all for me. For me the ocean of His love. But not only do we see His purpose, but we see His people. For He shall save His people. You know, the angel said His people, not all people. It is only those who accept His offer of salvation by faith. It is only those that shall call and believe in the Lord as their own and personal Saviour. It's only those that receive Him who He will rescue and save. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received Him, as many as received Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And you know, the converse is true. Those who don't receive Him, don't receive Christ, will not be saved. Are you numbered amongst His people tonight? Are you saved? You know, not only do we see Christ's purpose and His people, but we see His plan. For it says, He shall save. Just underline those words in our text. He shall. He, there is no other person, no other way but through Christ Jesus. He alone can save us. As the Apostle Paul states in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's not just He, it's He shall. It's certain. It's as if it were already done. No mights, no maybes. God had a plan to deal with sin through the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation's plan was foreordained by God the Father. And Paul tells us Christ Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus was born that He might die for you and for me. Who did Jesus come to rescue? He came to rescue you and He came to rescue me. Are you saved this evening? Maybe as you listen on your phone or your tablet or your computer, you have to, and I want you to answer that question. Are you saved? Have you put your faith in Christ and in Christ alone? If you're not saved, the sole reason, the sole purpose Jesus came to earth was to save you. Do you see His purpose? To seek and to save you. Do you see His people? Not all will be rescued. Not all will accept His offer of salvation. And do you see His plan? A plan foreordained by God for Christ to take on human form, to live a perfect life, to die an atoning and substitutionary death for your sins and for mine. So we see Jesus came to rescue us. But what did He come to rescue us from? Again, I want to leave just three simple thoughts. I want to think about the problem of sin, the penalty of sin, and the pit for sinners. The problem of sin. You know, you and I are sinners. Our text says, for He shall save His people from their sins. Sin is the problem. You know, we inherited sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God. And the evidence of sin having entered the world and God's displeasure with sin is all around us. Pain, sorrow, toil and death. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, that being Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just catch that. For that all have sinned. That includes you and includes me. We have a sin problem. It is in our nature. We break God's law in thought and word and deed each day. And of ourselves, we are helpless. We are spiritually dead. And the Bible tells us that we're dead in trespasses and in sin. You know, the Greek word used for dead is the same as corpse. We have the stench of death on us. That's how God sees you if you're not saved. It's as if you're a rotting corpse, spiritually dead in your sin and under the fearful judgment of a holy God. Friend, do you see the problem of sin and why Jesus came to rescue and to save? You know, if you're not saved, then you're lost. Just the two categories, saved or lost. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, when I hear the word lost, it reminds me of how on occasion when we were on holiday in Europe as a family, we can often get lost. And Wendy tends to pay more attention to the roadside signs than I do. And she will turn around and maybe say, Ian, you're lost, aren't you? And I typically deny being lost. And Wendy will do her best to encourage me to use Google Maps or maybe even the sat nav in the car, and would not be a smart thing to do. But maybe that doesn't sound that unfamiliar to you. And I do have a theory about men and women that explains why this sort of situation is common. And I think when women are not sure how to get to where they want to go, they feel lost. Why men will not admit they are lost until they no longer know how to get back to where they started. And I think this illustrates the spiritual condition of mankind. Since Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, men and women not only don't know how to get to where they want to go, i.e. heaven, but they can't get back to where they came from, a right standing with God. And that's because all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. All are lost. Unsaved one, that includes you. Do you see the problem of men and women lost in sin? But Jesus came not only to deal with the problem of sin, but to remove the penalty of sin. God demands that sin is paid for. It can't go unpunished. In Revelation, John reminds us that there shall in no wise enter in, speaking of heaven, anything that defileth. So without your sin being dealt with, you can never enter heaven. That only leaves one alternative destination, and that is hell. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, the penalty of sin is death. 2 Thessalonians 1, both verses 8 and 9, describes the penalty of sin as everlasting destruction in flaming fire. You know, the penalty of sin, the judgment for sin, will be meted out in the pit for sinners, described in Revelation by John as a bottomless pit, that place called hell. You know, when the Bible talks about the death and destruction in hell, it doesn't mean extinction or elimination. It's not an end. It won't end. It will be the destruction of soul and body in hell's lake of fire forever via the relentless judgment of a holy God on all those who reject his plan of salvation. You know, when I think of that word relentless, I often think about the pounding of the waves against the cliff. On and on, never abating, forever. And that's what it will be like in hell. Never dying, but always dying. Matthew 22 and verse 3 tells us that hell is a place of outer darkness. You think about that, complete darkness, yet in the lake of fire, invisible fire, intense fire that will burn and torment, but not be seen. Matthew 8 and 12 tells us that in hell there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, indescribable torment, inconsolable and incomprehensible suffering, with no comparison to anything by way of earthly experience. You know, that torment will be experienced by those who reject Christ, those who are not saved. They will be given a resurrected body with an unlimited capacity to suffer and to feel pain like never before. But praise the Lord, the converse is also true. Those of us who are saved and will be in heaven will be given a resurrected body with unlimited capacity to worship and serve our King. Oh, if I could only give you a sense of the true penalty of sin that awaits the unsaved in the pit, in hell. My, you would cry out to God for mercy. You know, Jesus came to rescue us from the problem of sin, the penalty of sin, and from the pit that exists for sinners. The only thing that stands between you, unsaved one, and hell is the Saviour of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're not saved, you are spiritually dead. If God was to call time on your life, you would perish forever in that pit, facing God's eternal wrath and judgment. But thank God for the Saviour, and thank God he came to save you. Tonight you can be rescued. You can be saved because the price for your sin and mine has been set by God the Father. And it is the precious shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, Only that blood can wash away our sins and reconcile us to God. But not only has the price been set, but thank God the payment was made in full on Calvary. When our Saviour suffered and bled and died, the victory over death was won. When up from the grave, he arose. The price has been set. The payment has been made in full for your sin and mine. And the prize of eternal life can be yours if you would only acknowledge and repent of your sin and put your trust and faith in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, this evening Christ's search and rescue mission continues. If you're not saved, the Lord has sought you out. He has created the circumstances which have led to you hearing the gospel message another time, having another opportunity to be saved. How will you respond? It might be your very last opportunity. The last time you hear the gospel, or the last time the Holy Spirit strives with your heart. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. He came to rescue. He came to rescue and he paid the ransom. The debt of your sin and mine paid in full. Will you accept his offer of redemption, that free gift of eternal life that is available to you this evening? What a rescue mission. What a Saviour. Rescued or lost for all eternity. That is your decision.